Let's just praise the Lord. Open in prayer. Precious Jesus, we never grow tired of you, Lord. For any reason, whether we have let you down, whether we've had a history of good tidings, whether we've helped somebody, or whether we were amiss to not tell somebody about you, we know, Lord, that we can come into your presence and just know that you love us regardless, and you've covered our sins. We thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross of Calvary. We heard about it this morning, where, Lord, all we need to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for the world, and especially for ourselves, if we receive what you did. You don't condemn anybody, Lord. You come to encourage. We just pray, Lord, for the people here on this service in the auditorium now, and those that listen in at their time of listening. Bless them. They're a part of us as we're a part of them. We don't have to be in the same building, but we do have the same Lord. Undertake for us, Lord, as we just worship you for this service. Help us in our singing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's sing number 229, I Serve a Risen Saviour. Shall we stand as we sing?
I serve a risen Saviour, he's in the world today. I know that he is living. They say, I hear his voice.
conscious of that every day. Trust you are. Let Jesus be a part of your life. Let's sing number 243, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all. there is no greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's sing 339. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. And that's true. Let's be a part of His company. Let's sing 359, and then we'll ask after that hymn if there's any testimonies people would like to share. Once far from God and dead from sin, no light my heart could see. sure is a privilege. Now, if we have any testimonies, just indicate with a hand and we will bring the microphone to you.
I just thank the Lord. There was torrential downpour out in the country a few days ago, and it overflowed the banks and that right by Sharon's place, and the river was flowing under their house. And we prayed, and everything's absolutely fine. The only thing I lost was a duck's nest. She was sitting on eggs under the house, and everything got washed out. They haven't inspected under the house, but everything appears at the stage to be fine. And I just thank the Lord for His care and God and keeping power. Thank Praise you, Lord. God.
That's good. Good news. Bad news, but good result. Brother Tatu.
I just want to give thanks and praise to the Lord. Gave us a mountaintop experience, but at the same time we knew there's going to be the valley. So we give Him all the glory, praise for those yucky times, but hey, it's growing times too. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, Brother Taru. Yeah, we don't like the down times, but we know that God's in them too. Any others? Sister Shirley.
About 10 days ago, I had a lump on my finger there. I just prayed, and Lord, please take this away, and thank the Lord it's gone. And another testimony is I was in the Lazy Boy, and I put the Lazy Boy up, and it wouldn't come down. I thought, oh, well, leave till tomorrow morning. And I came back and I said, well, Lord, you know what, how to get this going, please. Can you get it going for me, please? And so I turned off the switch of the wall, it went away, and they came back and turned it on. Good, praise the Lord, it worked. Thank you, Lord.
That's good. Good to see something happen. Answered prayer. Any others? No, all quiet. Well, just before we sing one more, which is We Are Standing on Holy Ground, B349, just to let anybody know that maybe here next Sunday, we're only having a morning service, the start of the series of morning services only, no afternoon service, but we are having luncheons immediately after the service, as usual, right through the holidays. But next Sunday we're having a special luncheon where there's going to be a special lunch, purchased things. Now, my advice to you is to tell whomsoever comes here that people that are not here regular, let them know that next Sunday is a special lunch with no afternoon service, and they're welcome to come and have fellowship. Pass the message around so they know. And it'll be a good time. Thank you, Lord. Any queries about that? Everybody understand? Yeah, I told them. Yeah. I've already told them. Yeah, they'll be there. He licks his lips when I told him. Praise God. We always get nice food. We like to eat it, don't we? Okay, well, let's sing 349 and then Brother Howard will come. We are standing on holy ground. You may remain seated if you wish. occurred to me, I know that Brother Jim and Sister Ethel listen in on the internet. I invite them to come to luncheon next Sunday as well. Be good to see them.
Yes.
If they can't come for the church, come for the luncheon, Ethel and Jim. Okay.
Brother Jim, if you can make it, we'd love to have you here. God bless you. You may be seated. And Sister Ethel, of course. That couple date way back in my life, 50 years. We knew them that far along. Yep. And they used to come to our home at 62 Abbott Street many years ago. They've been... Brother Ethel used to come to our house too and sell us bond brushes. The bond brush man. Oh, sorry?
Everyday brushes.
Everyday brushes, right. And my mother used to buy brushes from him. So, well, it won't be long. We'll all be together. Won't it be wonderful? I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Which says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe and mint and incense and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. The words that you spoke to us when you're here on earth, Lord. We pray that we'll take heed to what you said, because you needed to say it, and we need to hear it. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. May you bless the word to all gathered here, far and wide. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So these scribes and Pharisees were really faithful in paying their tithes and all these other things. But Jesus made a statement. You've omitted the weightier matters, things that mean more. So I've entitled this, "What about the weightier matters?" The weightier matters. And Jesus here is warning the Pharisees and us, of course, that we should give close attention to those things which are really, that really count. Not saying we shouldn't do the others, but we get all carried away with doing all the, you know, the things that we think are so important, which are important too, but things that are more important, we just leave off. He said, you've omitted the weightier matters. And the scribes and Pharisees were religious men, very dedicated to their cause. They were. But Jesus said they overlooked the weightier matters. This is something we should, as believers, continually remind ourselves about, especially in this world of continual pressure. Everybody's busy. Busy, busy, busy. It's a terrible word, and so many people are possessed by it. But what about the weightier matters? Are they looked into, or are they omitted? Overlooked. Things that really count. Things that are more important than most people realize. As human beings, we can easily get carried away, and we all do. We get carried away with a lot of things. Lee used to get carried away with fishing all the time. It's a good thing to get carried away with. But, you know, and that's fine. But what about the weightier matters? The weightier matters that Jesus is speaking of. We can be carried away with our own little program, and just our daily responsibilities and quickly overlook the important matters of that day. Who knows what I'm talking about? Go to pray, your phone goes. Something else happens. Somebody knocking at the door. Oh, could I come and see about something? And then we get caught up doing that. We leave off praying. Something else has come in its place. So the weightier matters, prayer, is put aside. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it myself. Now, the examples in history, we could give a few just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Throughout history, man in his endeavours has got into serious trouble because he has left undone the important matters. And one of the things that came to my mind when I was thinking about this was the account of the great ship, the Titanic. I don't know whether you know much about it, but if you study it, it was no ordinary ship. It was top of the range. Everything was polished, beautiful. Big spiral staircases. Wonderful, wonderful architecture. And one of the thing that really failed them was the weightier matters were left undone. A great ship had everything you could desire for. You can see photographs of it. In fact, if you ever go to Belfast, an island which I have had the privilege of being there, and I can't really explain it too well, but it's done like you're in the ship. It's all around you. And it was really amazing. And down the bottom was the workers' class. It was just very basic, just to wash your hands at the hand basin. And then they took you up through the floors with big screens, sort of like the walls, and you were travelling up through the business class, then right up through to first class. And it's no longer hand washing. It was just a sink. There's a bath and everything, and big beds, and plenty of room, desks to write. So, you know, if you had the money, you went in there. And the great ship had everything, as I said, that people could desire. It was wonderful, except for one thing. Now, just think about this. The one thing was, they didn't have enough lifeboats, less than half for the people on board. This is unbelievable in today's thinking that could happen, but it gave the world a wake-up call. Less than half enough lifeboats. Much attention was given to the cosmetics, overall beauty, everything had to be polished, spotless. Millionaires were buying up big. It was a great cruise liner in history. It was one of the best they'd ever seen. Titanic was the buzzword of the day. Everybody was booking until there was no room left. Much attention was given to the polishing of the brass. The starching of the white tablecloths, everything was just immaculate. But the weightier matters of insufficient lifeboats was overlooked. And 1,517 people perished because the weightier matters was overlooked. Who cares about a shining staircase? You want a lifeboat when it's going down. What about I thought of another one, the English troops during the Crimean War. The British Army was a very great army, very efficient army in those days. And they felt it was so big and strong, and it was, that the war would be over in a few weeks. So the time came when they had to ship the army across the sea. And when they started loading the ships, there's not enough room for everything. So they left off the medical supplies. Oh, we don't need those. We'll be out of there soon. The weightier matters was overlooked. In more ways than one, most of the thousands upon thousands of soldiers that died in that war did not die as a result of the enemy fire, but from the unattended wounds in that great war. Due to a lack of medical supplies, the weightier matters were left behind in England. When we come to this, what about our walk with God? Have we left off the more weightier matters, as we spoke about this morning? The Word of God has given many warnings to us as we walk this very treacherous walk with our God. I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else. I pray that God will speak to you wherever you may be. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, we read, "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness." Always wanting this, always wanting that. Beware of it, he said. "For a man's life consisteth not on them in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, A ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Now that was the most important thing in his mind. But where am I going to put more goods? And he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up. Your house is paid off." You know, whatever way you want to put it. Nothing more to worry about. "For many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall require of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He's got everything else sorted, but he's left off the most important things. Left off them. This man left off the weightier matters by being not rich toward God. The things that really counted were on the back burner. Everything else had first place. I've got to get this, I've got to have that, we have to have this sorted. No time for God. Too busy. So I call it the believer's disease is TB. Too busy. Too busy for this. Too busy for God. Too busy for prayer. Too busy for waiting on the Lord. I'm really busy, brother. You've got to understand how busy I am. Prayer time every day. Feeding on God's word daily. Meditating day and night upon the Lord. Instead of empty thoughts of the world. And as a result, he lost his soul. And as Jesus said, who are those things going to be then? Are we so busy with living that we miss life? Isn't that an interesting statement? So busy with living that we miss life. Is the things of daily living pressing in so much that our precious soul is left out in the cold? The soul is just is your number one thing. That's you. The need to be tended to. This rich man was only making a living. What did Jesus say in the parable? What about the word seed being sown in the man's heart? Luke 18:14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard the word, go forth, and are choked with the cares, responsibilities, and the riches of life, and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, never get there. Always wanting it, but never get there. Also in Luke 21:34 we read, take heed to yourself. Now, take heed means to give attention. Jesus said, give attention to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's overabundance. And drunkenness and cares of this life, or the worldly worries and cares of anxieties pertaining to the businesses of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. What a terrible thing. The Lord comes, you're not ready. You're so busy with everything else. And things were left unattended. The weightier matters were left undone. In each case, they left off the weightier matters because the pressures and attractions of this life. Take heed, brothers and sisters. Our Lord is saying, take heed. In this late hour in which we're living, we all should take heed. And Jesus told us about the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. It looked real good. It's great, went up fast. However, the weighty matters went unattended. The house's foundation was not considered that important. And hence, could not stand the test. When the storms came, and the pressures come, and they certainly will, because he had no foundation in Christ Jesus, it's all about what he was doing. It fell, and Jesus used this term, and great was the fall of it. I do not believe in these fast conversions. Not saying that they can't happen, but I'm just saying that up overnight they become a Christian. When the test comes, they do not stand. There's no simple shortcuts with this walk with God. Into the kingdom of God. Like the seed that grew up fast, but had no root, no foundation, lacking the true revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. We must know where we stand with God, young and old. Too many half-hearted conversions. Jesus said, you must be born again, a complete rebirth. Not a patch-up job. What's the most important thing in our daily walk today? To personally know God. Not just about God, to know him. I could know all about the President of the United States and still not know him. Walk close to him, seeking him daily for his perfect will for our life. Too many Christians are always looking at other Christians to see if they're walking right with God, and in the meantime leaving the more important matters done. And that more important matters is them, making sure they're walking right. You know the story Jesus tells about the publican and the other man who was claiming to be a Pharisee. He prayed and said, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like other people, or is that other, that drunkard down there. I'm glad I'm not like him. The drunkard said, Lord, I'm just, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He put his head down and smote his breast. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's all he cared about, is getting right with God. You see, brother and sister, you cannot be looking at others and getting right with God yourself. So may God help us today. The Pharisee fasted, he prayed, paid his tithes, he appeared to live a good life. But if you notice, his prayer was taken up by praying about others he could see weren't good. He didn't pray it out loud. The Bible does not say he prayed it out loud. He thought in his heart and said, I'm glad I'm like not like other people. He left off the weightier matters, his own life. In John 21:21, we read this. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? This John, what shall he do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee, Peter? Follow thou me. So, brother and sister, we've got to look at ourselves. Between you and God, the weightier matters is between you and God. It's impossible to, it is impossible for God to search our hearts while we're busy searching others. Just can't do it. Like I said, that man. I said, don't look at other people. Your mistake is you're looking at all everyone else, what they're doing to you. Start looking at Christ. Leave that alone. They can say what they wish. You get right with God yourself. What are these weightier matters? Things that we should be giving more attention to. If we're honest with ourselves, is our motive always as it should be? Remember the disciples, you know, they had things wrong. They always seemed to have things back to front. In Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Well, that sounded good. But Jesus said in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, but that that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the most important. Not because you've got a ministry of divine healing. That's wonderful. Or you're a preacher, or you're a whatever. You're a comforting person or something. But be thankful that your names are written in heaven. That's what number one. So the disciples left off the weightier matters too, that their names were written in heaven. See, we can be ever so religious, have a great revelation or have a great ministry, even casting out devils. But is our real joy that you are personally belong to him and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who's glad their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you get it there? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's just wonderful. That should be our weightier matters. That's the weightiest matter in your life. Lord, if I go tonight, like that brother Gaynor said in Melbourne, on the streets, who knows the story? We've got the testimony. Maybe we should play it again. He used to be in the shop doorways every night. He had a tract. In the dark, this is a funny little man, but he used to put the tract in people's pockets and say, if you die tonight, do you have the assurance you'll go to heaven? And people looked at that and some just threw it on the ground. But that was a weightier matter. Are you sure that if you die tonight, that you're going to heaven? That's the weightiest matter. And out of that testimony, they worked it out. Hundreds and thousands of people came to the Lord through that man's ministry. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? You've heard that testimony, brother? Beautiful. We should play it here sometime, lovely. It'd be a really wonderful testimony. He was just, and you know, he knew nothing about it. Have you heard that testimony? Oh, we've got to play it here. He was a little old fella. He heard nothing about his testimonies. No results. No altar calls he had. He faithfully promised God that he would do that every night. And, oh, all sorts of Navy people came down and got saved. And they went back to ship and started testifying to others. And the testimony goes on and on and on. One day this Baptist minister tracked him down in George Street, Melbourne. Sydney, sorry. got the wrong city. It was Sydney too. He found him. He knocked on the door. The man opened the door. He was shaking like this. Very old. He said, "Come in, brother." He came in. "Would you like a cup of tea?" The brother said, "Yes, that'd be nice." So he went, made a cup of tea, and he came with a cup, shaking the cup. He said, "Here's a cup of tea." He said, "Brother Gaynor, I want to tell you something. Are you the man that used to give out tracts every night here in George Street?" He said, "Yes, a long time ago, but I haven't been up to do it. I've been too weak and too old." He said, "I've got something to tell you." And as he told him of the success of his ministry, the hundreds of thousands of people he had given tracts to came and became great ministers, Sunday school teachers, everything. Thousands had come to the Lord. And they heard the testimony all over the world because this minister travelled a lot. He heard the testimony popping up everywhere. Brother Gaynor, just tears rolling down his cheeks, had never heard this. God had honoured his faithfulness. And 3 weeks later, he died. He went to glory, knowing that God had blessed his faithfulness. Wasn't that wonderful? That was the weightier matters. That was the most important thing. Not that he had a big house or that he was blessed in some way, but that he wanted to tell others because the Lord saved him in a miraculous way. He promised the Lord to be a witness for him. You don't have to be a preacher, brother, sister. Just tell what God has done for you. Before we close, let us look at something a little more deceptive in our walk today. Samuel had given the word of the Lord to Saul, king of Israel, to go down and to destroy the Amalekites. That meant every person, cattle, sheep, leave nothing. So Saul went down and God was with him and blessed the effort. But while he was there, he injected his own idea. Sounded good, sounded spiritual, but it was not spiritual. Now the devil just slipped us in. He said, "Why don't you keep the good, healthy sheep and the oxen, and then we can sacrifice unto the Lord." Doesn't that sound good? But the prophet said later, it's better to obey than to do sacrifice. God said everything. It sounded a really wonderful idea, but Saul left off the weightier matters of obeying. I'll read what Samuel said. It's 1 Samuel 15:22. "And Samuel said, 'Hath not the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.'" Saul was rejected by God that day from being king of Israel because he left off the weightier matters of obeying the word. God can bless you, but you must obey his word. Let us not let other minds take us outside the will of God. You've got to be led of the Lord, brothers and sisters. You've got to make your own choices. Life is not just floating along with a confession. We've got to do the things that are weightier, things that are more important. Even in our Christian enthusiasm, let us not get carried away with the things of this life, whether possessions or just the cares of life. Let us not be lured into examining others, and in doing so, leave off the more weightier matters of our own life. Self-examination, repentance by the Holy Spirit. One of the final distractions are the afflictions, adversities, hardships and tribulations, ailments, infirmities that we sometimes have to suffer We've all had that. You're all going through those. You had to suffer it. These can cause us moments that we look at them, leave off the more weightier matters of eternal life. Testings of this life are not worthy to compare with the glory that shall be revealed in us. May the Lord, our Saviour Jesus Christ, let his grace be extended towards us all this afternoon, that we may see the true weightier matters in life by turning our eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us each pray that God will show us where we have been leaving off the more weightier matters of our life and giving attention to the things that do not matter. They may matter in some way, but nothing like the weightier matters. He said, you've left off the weightier matters. Our Lord said that right in the beginning in our first reading. He made this statement and omitted the weightier matters of the Word of God. May God help us all. Shall we stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this afternoon, Lord, and we want to consider about the weightier matters. Have we left off? Got so carried away with other things that seemed important, but Lord, at the end of the day, they're not as important as you said they were. I pray, Lord, that you'll move upon each one of us. Lord, that we'll turn our focus and attention to you. Help us, Lord. Lord, that the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we have malfunctioned, we have missed what we should have been doing. Lord, may we take inventory. May we check up each day, Lord, to make sure the weightier matters. We think things are so important. Oh, Lord, our job, our business, our family is so important, and it is, but it's not as important as walking close to God. That's the weightier matters. So, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'll just help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Let it be, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the dark.
Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, my prayer is, Lord, as we turn our eyes upon you, Lord, even this afternoon, Lord, that you will reveal yourself in a more real way to us, Lord, and just to know, Lord, that you are leading and guiding us, Lord. Just like that testimony, Lord, that man thought he was just being faithful to you, Lord, but I believe you are guiding him the whole way, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord, to keep him faithful to you, Lord, and I just believe you'll take us all the way, Lord. You said you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, and Lord, we just appreciate you, Lord, tonight, Lord, and we love you, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory, Lord, and all the thanks, Lord, and I just pray a blessing upon each one here, Lord, and those far, Lord, that they would just feel your presence, Lord, and know your love towards them, Lord, and I just commit each one into your hands tonight, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.